This episode of Diaries of a Lodge Owner is brought to you by Lake Obabaka Lodge, a rustic luxury fishing lodge.
One day, I saw this gentleman get out of his boat, and his son had kept this little pike, and he brought it in off the out of the live well. And it didn't look like a northern. It looked like a grayling or a rainbow. And I was like, okay. So, well, maybe it was, I just thought for sure, I thought it was just a one-off.
Yeah.
Then my guide started coming in with pictures, and they got bigger, and there was more. We possibly have a fish that we do. We have a fish that is rare, that is abnormal, and that nobody, as far as I know, right now, and the whatever 200 years of fishing experience between the four or five of us that have chatted about it,
yeah,
that nobody's seen and nobody has.
Yeah.
Super badass.
This week on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network's Diaries of a Lodge Owner, we enjoy time with one of the newest kingpins in the northern tourism industry, who is backed and mentored by one of the most successful men in the history of hotel and hospitality. He is no stranger to the show and owner of Nordic Point Lodge, Will Pelosky. On today's show, we discuss one of the most crucial topics in business, branding. Now in this ultra-competitive business world we live in, and more specifically, that of fishing lodges, branding isn't just a logo or a slogan. It's the essence of your business's identity, a beacon that draws anglers from across the globe. And we explore the importance of podcasting in crafting your brand so it resonates, and how it serves as your bridge to a deeper connection with your audience, harnessing the power of storytelling and the value it brings to you, the listener. So if you are a business owner or just love to hear very cool success stories, come join us as we navigate the waters of branding and how podcasts offer an unparalleled platform for engagement. It's where relationships are forged and people are transformed into a loyal community, ensuring your business isn't seen, but truly remembered. Here's my conversation with Will. Hello and welcome to another episode of Diaries of a Lodge Owner. We are here at the Toronto Sportsman Show, and I am truly excited to be sitting here with one of the up-and-coming kingpins of the North, Will Pelosky, Nordic Point Lodge. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Thanks for having me today, Steve.
Yeah. So, what I'd love to talk to you about today, among other things, setting up your place. Like, I mean, this is the spring is here, right?
Yep. And coming fast.
Yes.
Coming
fast. I just did a spring opening cottage cracks to kind of go through a lot of the things that, as a cottage owner and former lodge owner, we did to open up the cottage.
Yeah.
When you're in a remote location like you are, in the heart of absolute beautifulness, I don't know how else you can explain it. You know, you've got the northern lights shining down on you in the evenings and sunsets and sunrises, world class.
Breathtaking.
Yes. What are you priming yourself to do when you leave? And what time of the year do you hope to get set up? Because you're able to get there all year round.
Yeah. So our facility, you can drive to it. We are probably a few weeks away still from opening up our water, getting our sewer ready. Initially, we'll focus on the interior of the buildings, getting everything set up, reset your couches and all your images on the wall and all your taxidermy. We remove it in the fall so it doesn't fall off when buildings are moving and heaving and so on and so forth.
Do you get much of that?
Yeah, lots. You wouldn't think so, but I mean, in the short amount of time that we've had this place, it's we had it last year. Actually, yeah. I lost a moose rack. Learned that lesson in my main lodge.
Oh, really?
A little bit because we built a new main lodge.
Yeah.
Kind of leveled her out as the season went with the shift, and then we decided to to leave everything hanging the first year, and came back one morning to a moose paddle busted off a horn.
Really?
Oh yes.
So what kind of ground are you built on?
So it's a heavy clay. It's heavy, I see. Like that gray clay.
Yep.
And it's like this fall, I'll tell you a quick story. This fall we were renovating two of our cabins to make them winterized for consistency in the wintertime when it comes to snowmobiling and having ice fishermen accessible.
Yeah.
And we had to trench across the road in a couple spots and go down here 6 feet, right? And when we got down there, the clay was so thick, we couldn't repack it into the road with the excavator. I had to bring in a roller to be able to push it. Yeah, because every time you'd pack, you'd have to wait until you'd had rain until it pretty much turned to liquid.
Yeah.
And then drops. So we had to bring in a roller just to be able to stiffen it back up. That's the kind of the ground we're dealing with.
I imagine when the frost comes out of the clay, it just boils.
It's insane, right? It just pushes everywhere. So my my house at the lodge, to be honest with you, me and Krista have been going through, there's areas of my home that are shifting at the front and the back, and it's been there for 20 years since the previous owner had it, right? So it's one of those things that's a constant thing moving. I guess that's where we would first start in the spring, Steve.
Yeah.
Get the interiors focused and ready. Get the exteriors, everything leveled up. If there's any movements, any broken, you know, deck posts and so on and so forth. We'll start there. We'll move up to the store and the bait house and the main lodge and start equipping it with what we're selling, what we're providing. Start getting ready for our staff. A lot of our staff actually have come down. They're from the Toronto area here, some of them. You know, when they bring all their guide gear up to me so I can throw it in the trailer so they don't have to pack it in their tiny little Toyota Corolla and take it all the way up north. And so we kind of get the staffing ready too as well, because that's key, right? My staff is going to start showing up on April 3rd.
Yeah.
Actually, is when they're going to start filling camp up here. So kind of get that ready for them too as well.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, you've got a hell of a store up there.
We do.
Talk a little bit about the store. When I had Chaudière, I did put together a bit of a store, and I had things there for people to buy, some merchandise, some sweaters and Chaudière shirts and a few baits. But in talking to you, it sounds like you're a retailer.
Yeah, we have a 2,500-square-foot store at the front of our property.
Yeah.
When you first enter. And then another 500 square foot area for the office. So when you initially come in our property, you come into the office and check in, but the store there is to the west, and we're a St. Croix rep. We rep all of our own merchandise. Obviously we run the Rapala line. We try and fill it with as much product as we can for the guests when they're coming in and out. You know, we carry grocery line. We're a licensed distributor. We do a little bit of everything in there. With obviously baits up there, tackle. It's a pretty extensive place, and it's more of a size.
Yeah, thing, volume thing.
Yeah, well, correct. Yeah.
Listen, I know from dealing in this industry for well over a decade that you are a very, very forward thinker in your second season coming up when it comes to marketing and putting yourself out there and doing all of the little things right to make this project work.
Thank you.
Let's dive into Will's mind and start from... We touched on it in the last podcast on how you got involved with this, that you were a guide and you made some connections. But let's dive deep into what you did to just bring people to you.
To make Nordic Point Lodge what it is today.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's really in its infancy and already you're making huge waves.
Yeah, no, it's... Well, thank you for that. That's great to hear. You know, we love hearing, being at the Toronto Sportsman Show here, we've seen the waves that we've created in a positive way. And, it's a good reflection, and it's kind of a full circle now on what we started. So yeah, Steve, like when we initially got going, like there was no brand There was
no.
There was.
And I'm going to just jump in here. And I think the word brand is something that a lot of lodge owners who either, you know, have been in the business for hundreds of years, not literally, but you know what I mean, have inherited a family business or grown into it, don't really have to build a brand from the basement up and really lose a lot of perspective when it comes to understanding how important branding is. So let's dive into that.
Absolutely.
Branding.
Absolutely.
What have you done so far?
So when we originally started, obviously we created the Nordic Point brand. We knew our focus and our direction in the way we wanted to go, as everyone knows now by listening to me on here, that we do a little bit of everything, you know, everything from a self-guided housekeeping to a pampering, all-inclusive experience, if you may.
Yeah.
You know, you can come to my place and land your Learjet on my strip, or you can come and drive your own car and bring your boat and we'll take care of you executively with your cabin and so on and so forth. So that was kind of what we were looking for style-wise. So once we hit that, we had the place. We had the brand created.
With the beautiful logo that it is.
Right?
Yes.
How do you love that, baby?
Oh, it's awesome.
So that logo, let me just tell you a quick story before I go on. So that logo, Marley, my 14-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Basically,
I hear.
Right, second that one.
Second. All this is not because I was introduced to the firstborn.
That was Olivia.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Olivia. And yes. She made it quite clear that she was firstborn, first in line.
Oh, well, that's how it goes. First in line. When dad goes, right, you got to step in and I got to make sure I'm on that will. Yeah. No, so we actually, it was a funny story. So we told all the kids, take some paper and a pad. And this is what we want you to do. And this is the Nordic Point, make us something. So Dave, his children, and you know, they're older, they're in their 20s, and my kids, who are anywhere from 9 to 21.
Yeah.
They all came up with these ideas. And so Marley decided to come forward with her idea, and the logo that you see is what she created. She created the rough draft of it.
Yeah.
And then we sent it out and had it done. Well, she's ecstatic that she gets to tell everybody how Nordic Point Lodge got their logo. And
she's the head designer.
Oh, yeah, for sure, right? You know, 12 years old.
She's brought it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So we created that side, kind of stuff. And then we took over the lodge. So when we took over the lodge, it was previously called Rainbow Point Lodge. And as you guys know, it was like a... It was more of a do-it-yourself housekeeping thing.
Yeah.
So there was nothing there for infrastructure to hold an all-inclusive package for everybody to enjoy and to take it to that elite level that we have, right?
So as far as a kitchen and dining room and
even area in the cabins, right? They didn't have, you know, the cabins were very rustic.
Yeah.
They were, you know, everything needed to be updated. Every bed, every couch, the carpeting, the main lodge. We had to build a...
All you had were bones.
That's it. Correct. We were putting it together from scratch. So we started remodeling here, there, working our way down the line. I would have... At one point, I had 12 guys sleeping in my living room on cots. Three or four working on this project. Two or three guys are in here working down at the main lodge building it. Two or three guys are down here working on the new dock system because we had to put in a completely new dock system, right? It was pretty wild. So
So
that's how we started on the construction wise and getting the property up to snuff.
Yep. So we started. Now you got your property up to snuff.
Yep.
Now, how do you sell it?
So it's tricky. It's you have to figure out the direction you need to go to target the market you're looking at. Okay. So, which is different for us, Steve, because we're a different market. We don't have a one direction. We're not just the outpost.
Yeah.
We're not just the all-inclusive place. We're not just the housekeeping. We do a little bit of all of that. So we had to mold it where when we're promoting our marketing and when we're selling, that we can, people see that, that variation. And it's really worked in the aspect of you can come to my place and enjoy all of the intricacies that we've established now. And you don't have to, you don't have to break the bank, you know, if you want to.
Price point was one of the important targets that you had.
Huge. Absolutely. Because like I say, if you're, you know, you can come up to my place for a, for a, for a 4-night, 3-day stay, you know, you're looking at $2,100, and that's a standard, and that's a, for the elite level service that you're going to get. And it's a great price. When you're coming to take care of your own self, you know, you're looking at $675 a person. Obviously you're taking care of yourself. So that's the difference.
Yes.
But the uniqueness about selling that is, how do you go into an area and target this genre of people versus this genre? How do you get them in the same room? That was key to us, right? So,
And what were the discussions on your techniques when you were trying to hash this all out? And I'm assuming you were doing this with your partner.
I was. So Dave, as you know, Dave's been in the hotel industry for, you know, 40 years. So that was his, that was his come to the table and bring to you, right? It was we can, I know lodges, I know the fishing industry.
Yeah.
I need someone to teach us the hotel end of it. And that's where our mesh is really unique, because, you know, at one point in at time, you know, my partner was, he was the man worldwide, and it came to hotels. And that's a, you know, when you retire from a place and you hit the Wall Street Journal, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, so his teachings to me were very awesome. It was extensive, and he taught me how to sell to many people at once that aren't in the same demographic.
Which is a very interesting and tricky deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was. Absolutely. And it's, so we started targeting, obviously, online.
Yeah.
Obviously, Instagram and Facebook. Yeah,
let's talk about that social aspect. Well, first of all, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
What is your biggest vehicle? What is the most important area that you've found where your marketing dollars best spent?
In my TV shows and podcasts, it's the Outdoor Journal Network has been huge for us. The Fishing Canada show is massive for us. We do shows like the Toronto Sportsman Show. We don't really target a specific lodge vacation show like a lot of places do.
Yeah.
For the reason of it's not, I'm not of the mentality of, a lot of the people have been targeting the same market for years, and they go to the same place, and they might, you know, turn heads on 3 or 4 different lodges, and they might go home and talk to them.
Yeah.
Talk about it with their family and the group that they're going to go with. Majority of the time, they're going to go back to the same place, which is what we have and what we want as well.
Yeah.
So we found that we didn't really want to get to a point where we wanted to continuously pound down that road. So we opened to a different avenue. So we went to Shields, okay, and Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops. And we have some contacts in there executively, and we decided to put pop-up booths at their show. So it would be a long weekend in the U.S. in Minneapolis, and you would walk into a, you know, 25,000 square foot store, an outdoor store, and boom, Nordic Point Lodge is right in your face entering, and we're right in the demographic that we need to be in immediately. And my competition is me. I don't have 200 other places that I'm competing against.
So you've got satellite pop-ups.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, we run them right now. I'm running them all over the U.S. I'm running them. We're doing a PGA golf show down in Florida. We did the International Farm and Machinery show down in Kentucky, which is huge. It puts 300,000 people through the door. So it's a numbers game, Steve, right?
Yeah.
Like in the old times, I feel of continuously doing that and beating that path are, they're great. These shows are great for the networking part. Like you mentioned,
yes,
that's what you used it for. And that aspect is fantastic. You know, you're going to sell people for sure, because what you're providing them is a great service. And all of these lodges have it. They're all amazing.
Yes.
It's just, they're all amazing in their own unique way.
Yeah.
You know, so in saying that, we've kind of changed the style of how we do things in that way. And it's really,
well, you're pioneering, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
no,
is
I agree.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is totally awesome. So let's go back to the social media aspect of it, because that is something that can be very daunting for the average person to think about. What kind of a map do you have when you're using your social media? How do you get that out there? Like, I mean, you're younger than I am.
Yeah.
But what tools do you use?
So we're heavy on Facebook.
Yeah.
Heavy on Facebook, obviously, Nordic Point Lodge through our Facebook page. Instagram is huge for us now. To be honest with you, I'm only a few years younger than your brother, so the issue becomes... I know a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah.
But thank God I have 5 kids, and some of them have significant others that can help us in that
area.
Yeah. So the Instagram page we've just got going recently heavily. The other thing is our mailing list is big. So we actually the lodge that we tried to, the style of lodge that we've kind of replicated was that T2 Island Lodge, as we've spoken in the past, where I'd met all my clients and my partner many years ago. And in saying that, we'd purchased some client lists from some people, and we kind of forced our way into a situation where we could flood people with our information immediately. Our email list is huge.
And you do it very, very well.
Thank you.
Because I'm on that list now.
Yep.
And you do it in a way that's informative. It's not pushy. It doesn't feel like a sales pitch. And I think that's key too.
For sure. And you know, Steve, I wouldn't want that if I was a client.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather much, I love that some of my guests are going to check out other places, because I want everyone to experience everything.
Yes.
But I'm super confident in the way that my facility is ran and my staff and my people and our fishery, all of those things, I know that they're going to come back and they're going to continue to come, and which is great. But, and I do, it is nice to see that, you know, that spread around other places, you know, so.
And it's great. When I own Chaudière, that always happens no matter what. People are going to come. Now, I shouldn't say always. You always get, like I had a certain amount, and it wasn't all that big. Probably about 10% of my guests were lifers. Like literally, we celebrated in my last year a couple who had been coming. It was their 48th year in a row coming to Chaudière.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's like incredible. I mean, you do have a few of those, but for the most part, you're going to get people that'll come and they love you and they love your facility, and they'll do 3-4 years, and then inevitably somebody in the group sees something else or talks to somebody or sees and it's totally cool that they go and experience it.
Absolutely.
And when you have a product like I know you have, like I strived to have at Chaudière, they always come back. Whether it be next year or 2 years down the road, they would come back and they would say, I miss you and I miss your product.
And the confidence should be instilled in you when you're at Chaudière to have that in saying that in the future, they will come back.
Absolutely.
They will, because they want to.
You never take it personal.
No, ever. No, you can't. And you can't. On top of that, Steve, it's if you have something that no one else has, or if you're offering something no one else does, or treat someone in a different aspect of how another place would.
Yes.
They're going to remember that. They're going to miss you for those reasons. It's not always just the fishing they miss.
And no.
They could be anything from the boat. Like we run very high-end boats. All of our boats have live imaging on them now.
Wow.
That's a huge step, right? Like, I mean, when you go to facilities for years and have that service, and then you would go to somebody who didn't, that might be enough something that you'd be like, I love this place, but
so
I miss Will's
stuff. I know when I had Chaudière, I was running high-end electronics, but nothing like what you're talking about. Do you almost, and this might be an idea if it's not employed, do you have people on the dock that can do a quick seminar?
Absolutely. So what we do actually is before you go out in a boat, we take an hour and we will walk through the whole boat with you, do a walkthrough on the graphics. We walked around the boat, the live wells and the motor startup and the safety around the lake and the hitters and that kind of stuff that We absolutely do. We take a time before every guest goes out. When our guides go out on a guided experience, you come into the boat. You know, when you're helped into the boat, you're shown where their life jackets are. Do you want to wear your life jacket, ma'am?
Yeah.
You know, here's your safety kit for the boat. If something happens to Will while I'm guiding you, if I have a heart attack while I'm driving, this is what you do. This is the kill switch. This is, right?
Yeah.
Those things are something that's forgotten about a lot. And yeah. I've seen personally at other places, I won't mention them, but where people have gotten hurt, even killed from those safety aspects, right? So that's a big thing for me. I know.
Yeah.
Spending 20 years plus in the oil field, you have to learn that stuff fast. And it's kind of stuck with me and embedded into where I am at the lodge now.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, are all of your rental boats guided?
No. So, okay, perfect. So 70% of them, Steve, would be 70, 75%. The other portion are a self-guided. So, which meaning you just go out, you take your learning transition period in the boat. We teach you, and then you go out and do your own thing. A lot of people like to do that. Even if they have a guided experience, they'll like to go out for like 1 or 2 days for the simple fact of they want the comfort of their own. They want to spend their time with their wife or their kid one-on-one. You know, like you want to spend it with your wife. It's a
different experience.
Yeah, it is for sure. It's a lot more personal. It's personal when you're there, yes, because you're creating them a lifetime memory.
Yeah.
But it's different in that aspect because it's a one-on-one lifetime memory with their significant others.
Yes. Yeah. Not only that, let's be real. It's cheaper too.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, right? That's the name of the game sometimes. I know for me is, right?
Yeah. So I'd like to also talk, and this is all in that same area. We work together. You're advertising on Diaries of a Lodge Owner. It's no secret. The commercial comes up, which was beautifully written by me. And also,
I would second that in a minute, Steven. Yeah,
you know what? It was an artistic creation that I was very proud of.
Nice.
To say the least. But it's been a pleasure working with you in particular because you understand the numbers, the data, your socials. You were feeding me information almost in real time about what was going on your end of things.
Yeah.
Can you talk about where you were finding those numbers and how you were analyzing them and keeping track of them? Because that, for me, is something that's very important when I'm choosing the people that I want to partner with. And I want to emphasize the word choose, because I'm a building business as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody here is we're building a business together. And I'm very particular on who I want to choose to partner with.
For sure. For sure. So I think that comes down to, Steve, is what it, first of all, attraction between people is key, right? Like, I mean, myself and you, we have a connection. And if we didn't have that, we wouldn't mesh, right? And I mean, regardless if our businesses mesh or not, you have to have that relationship. It doesn't have to grow into a friendship like ours has. It could just be a relationship that's positive in a way to move forward in business.
And that relationship has to be a symbiotic relationship.
Yes.
It has to help you as well as help me.
Absolutely.
And you know, as we progress forward, I can honestly say that the business relationship that we've had so far has been wonderful.
That's great to hear. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I feel the same way on our end. So
talk about the data, because it's truly interesting and valuable in information.
For sure. And you're speaking the data in your
socials, the numbers, the increase in numbers that you saw.
Oh.
When the first episode dropped, you sent me a text, not an hour and a half after, saying, "Hey, I made my first booking."
That's right. So the full circle of this is it started out with my Instagram, sorry, my Facebook initially blew up. Like everyone was asking to be added to my mail list. Everyone was starting to watch us. Everyone was following us. My friends list went up to, 2,000 people in about, 3 weeks. And I'm the biggest loser in the North. So, I mean, it's like,
say that.
So I don't have that many friends, but now it looks good. So that's where it started there. We would add people to the mailing list. You know, we We have up to 7,600 people on our mailing list now, right? So when I
wow,
when we purchased a few lodges mailing lists that had gone, that had sold or went under, and or the clientele that I had already had to add to it, you know, we're talking 4,500 people.
Yeah.
That's 3,000 people I've added to my mailing list at a minimum because of the Outdoor Journal, because of the Fishing Canada show, because of all of it, right?
Yes.
Connected. And so that's kind of where it started. And I told you about getting into the Instagram part of it. That partition's growing right now, you know. Yeah. And on top of that, the calls that we start. So initially, people, I think, were starting to look into what we were, who you are, what yeah. you offer. Is this just a quick fly-by-night thing? Or is this actually the next place to be in Northwestern Ontario?
Yeah.
You know, whether you're a family or an executive client, right?
What, yeah.
Is this that? And people started realizing, yes, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And the phone started ringing. The booking started coming. You know, I was here at the Toronto Sportsman Show the other day. You know, Angela Viola is, you know, my idol since I've been 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know? Besides Dougie Gilmore, the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's the only one that's...
Wow.
That's,
yeah,
he is next in line to me. You know,
Angelo like, Viola and Dougie Gilmore.
That's the same level in my books, baby. Right,
right there. We'll slide Wendell Clark in there somewhere too.
Well, if you need a bag of knuckles, for sure, right? So, it started with. So, I'll just go back to that story. So, gentleman had come over to Hans and was talking to him about. I had heard this podcast. Do you know where this booth is with Nordic Point Lodge? So he brings them on over, sits down with me for a few minutes, and we went through, you know, a sales spiel and what we're offering. And I found out what the most importantly, obviously, Steve, is what does the client want?
But yes.
I don't really care what I'm selling because that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I have a little yeah. bit of everything to fit a niche. Just tell me your niche. Tell me yeah. what you need, right? So when they did that, I got a booking. I booked a $4,000 trip like that. I brought that gentleman back over to Angelo. We had a good chat, went our separate ways. That to me was a complete full circle. The full circle of having bookings off Diaries of a Lodge Owner and the Outdoor Journal initially came, like I said, within a few weeks immediately. But seeing it face to face and being able to have it come full circle while I'm here with you guys was touching. It really showed what could happen. You know, like
yeah.
if there's anybody out there, you know, all these lodge owners that are listening to this podcast, the future is this. The future is social media. The future is media like you guys.
Yeah.
And it works.
And
it works.
We are, we do have a huge foothold in this industry.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that are retiring and, I don't know how he does it. Well, like, I mean, and I'm talking about Angelo Viola.
Yeah.
He is not a guy who even thinks about retiring. He's put together a wonderful group of people and is building an infrastructure that is solid as concrete. And the way that I feel about it, and having you come over to me yesterday and saying, I've booked 12 trips
yep.
here.
Yep.
And hearing...
Which doesn't happen a lot at these shows. Excuse to interrupt you, but it doesn't happen a lot. A lot of people go, like I said, they go back and talk to their families and their corporations yes. and whoever. It's very rare that that happens. Like maybe once a trip or a show.
In all of the years that I own Chaudière Lodge, and I didn't do a lot of shows. I did the Toronto Sportsman Show religiously. I did the Toronto Fishing Show sometimes. I did one show in Novi, Michigan, and I did one Muskie Odyssey, and that was it.
Yep.
In all of those shows, call it a dozen, I never, not once, booked anybody at a show. Not once.
That's not abnormal.
No.
It really isn't. And, yeah. and that's what I'm getting at, is I feel that the attraction is this. It's what people see in their face every day. You know, like at the booth here, we have... The Nordic Point Lodge has being a partner sponsor with you.
A partner with me with the booth.
Correct. Having that with the Fishing Canada name tied in and everybody seeing that. And then, you know, Tim Dawson, who does all our gear and swag for the store, you know, with Kappa's crew, like they are repping our stuff at the booth. They're repping your stuff at the booth. Everywhere I turn, when it comes to whether the media, socially or in your face, you see Nordic Point Lodge, you see the Outdoor Journal, you see Fishing Canada, and that's
Diaries of Elijah.
Buddy, I need a whole bunch of those sweaters to come up to my store.
Done. Well, I got a guy. His name's Tim.
Nice. We know that baby right there. There he is.
Yeah. No.
Awesome.
It is great. And the whole, well, this is another question, and I'm a little bit out of touch with the social media aspect of it because I'm not in the lodge business anymore. But I feel like you're kind of finding a way to reach people through social media, but it still feels personal. What are you doing?
That's a tricky one. You know, like
I know it's tricky, but I feel it.
And here's why it's tricky, Steve, because I think I'm just a personal person, right? Like if I'm going to socialize with you and if I'm going to connect with you and look you in the eyes, we're going to have a talk. I want to feel the emotion. You know what I mean? I want to, and that's just who I am. I'm a passionate person, as you know.
Yeah. And well, maybe that's why podcasts are one of those things, because I feel connected with the people that listen.
Yeah.
The family that we're building, the community, the Diaries of a Lodge Owner community. And I see all of these people at this show coming up and talking to me. And you know, it's a little surreal that there's actually people out there that are listening, and lots of them.
You're telling me, buddy.
Family.
That's right. It's I've had people come up at this show and have told me that they've listened to episode 24 on Diaries of a Lodge Owner. That airs every week, by the way. If you're not listening to it by now, you should be if you're a lodge owner.
And or when anybody. They tell
me that, I'm like, that's the coolest thing in the world. And I'm not BSing here. I'm waiting for someone to say, hey, can I get an autograph from this guy? And I'm a nobody, right? And I feel like running to Ange and getting his autograph, and someone might be coming up to me one day soon here and saying that. And it's a pretty cool feeling.
It is. It is a wonderful vehicle for you to connect with the people that are potential family members to the Nordic Point Lodge family.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Sure. And it's so hard, I think, in social media, because everybody, it's the old Tom T. Hall line, putting up a front.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to put up that front on social media. But in a podcast, you're connected with people.
You're live.
And there's a connection there. And people are like, I mean, I love trying to incorporate everybody listening and making them feel like they're sitting at the table with us.
Well, and I think that, Steve, that's why your podcast is taken, and the Outdoor Journal Radio in general is taken off so much, because whether it's Eating Wild or Ugly Pike or the Diaries of a Lodge Owner podcast, all of them together in the network, you guys are all passionate, and you're passionate about what you're preaching, and you're passionate about your history, and that's me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
Not only you, that's all of the people out there that are listening.
Yes.
Those people are listening to your story and my story, and they're they have stories too. And hey, anybody out there listening, if you've got wonderful stories you want to share that are outdoors or any kind of awesome relation, just reach out to me. Reach out to me, because you never. You're part of the family. Everybody listening is part of the family.
Absolutely,
right. And whether you want to tell your story, or you want to find out where Will is, or what you want to do, or Tim from Kappa's crew, you know, you gotta. It's an open door. It's a two-way street.
Absolutely,
we're here for a long time, and it's about building relationships, and every business, I think.
I agree.
It is the one most important part, from fixing your septic to marketing your product.
Correct.
To, you know, it's, and I really feel that this vehicle is an important part with that. I got Nick here. making funny faces at me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's up with Nicky
Boy? Well, and what they're doing is they want me to tell everybody out here that's not listening, there's Diaries of a Lodge Owner stuff in the back for sale. It's been up there for 4 days.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Yes.
Get down to the Fishing Canada booth and the Outdoor Journal booth and get buying.
And we're going to have a drop ship sent up to your place. So, hey, if you want to buy diary stuff, you can go to fishingcanada.com or you can go visit Will and buy it for from Will in his store.
At Nordic Point Lodge, come on up and we'll have a whole rack of Diaries of the Lodge Owner ready to go, baby, when you come up there. Come up there first week of June, she'll be set up and ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, and there's August.
Nice to say it's August.
August Miller. She's Mike Miller's daughter, and she's quite a celebrity on the show over there.
I actually got to meet her the other day. I'll tell you a funny story about me. Mike, actually. So Mike and Carl. Carl Kalanka, yes. They kind of look similar.
Well, and back in the day, they were co-hosts for their show. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I did not actually know that. Yes, that. Okay. Yes, I did not know that. Yes. Okay. Well, that makes the story even funnier. So,
okay.
So Olivia, my daughter who's sitting in the booth now that you met, me and her decide to go down to Cozumel, Mexico. This is like 2003 or 2004.
Yeah.
So we go down there and I noticed this guy walking around. And you know, I'm a fishing nut at the time. This is at the prime. This is before, right when I was getting into tournament fishing heavy. And like, I bought my first Stratus bass boat and I was going to be the next swinging in the market. Right. Uh-huh. I thought, so I'm like, that is Mike Miller. I know it is.
Yeah.
So another day or two went by and we're walking around the resort and I'm like, okay, I finally got enough nuts to go up to him and talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, when I go up and introduce myself, I'm Will Pulowski, nice to meet you. How you doing today, Mr. Miller? My name's not Mr. Miller. My name's Carl Kalanka. Oh, my goodness. It was because they look so similar.
Uh-huh.
So Olivia's with me at the time, and her face just drops like, oh, Dad, you just ate your foot. So the other day, these guys were both walking through my booth at the Nordic Point Lodge booth here at the Toronto Sportsman Show, and I told them this story, and the daughter was there, and it was so great to see it from full circle from my daughter to that story to those men to now his daughter. It was super funny. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Miller. Nope, I'm Carl. Yeah. Right on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Ange and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things free, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly,
marinated,
you will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Escape to the wilderness of Lake Obabaka Lodge, where the exclusivity of a fly-in meets the accessibility of a drive-to destination. Cast its pristine waters teeming with trophy lakers, northern pike, and smallmouth bass. Discover a paradise rich with history, offering serene moments and adventurous days. Lake Obabaka Lodge is where memories are hooked and history comes alive. Join us where the wilderness whispers your name.
So now that we've had a little bit of time between the last podcast. Have you drummed up any guiding stories? We heard an unbelievable guiding story that involved your partner's daughter, which was awesome. I'm putting you on the spot, but as a guide, there's all kinds of crazy things that happen.
There is. There is. Let me think of one here off the top of my head.
Listen, I have one here.
Okay, you tell me one and I'll think of one. That's a good idea.
I have one. And this is one that I told on the Outdoor Journal radio show, but it didn't pass the touch test.
I see. Nice.
And it ended up getting censored out. but now, now I have Diaries of a Lodge Owner, and this is one of the diaries.
Yes.
This is one of the stories in the diaries. So I'm just going to have to think about how I'm going to word it. But anyway, I had five different guides working for me. And one of them, Billy Commanda, he is a wonderful mountain of a native fella who lives up in, he was born on a rock in the middle of Lake Nipissing.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean.
You don't get any more local than that.
No. And he's about, he's probably late 50s right now, and he's been guiding for about 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, started
fresh out of the womb with the rod in the hand.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he could drive a boat before he could ride a bike.
Yeah, right.
You know. Yeah. So anyway, Billy was out fishing one day, and he's a mountain of a man, and he's got a classic Stompin' Tom toothless grin.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's not quite. He's got one big one on one side, but...
Well, at least he can chew still. That's good.
And anytime he smiles, it makes me feel good. It makes me laugh. Right? Because he's just such a... He's that guy. Yep. And he's very quiet. But he come in one day, and... he says, Steve, I found a big plastic thing that, this is where I've got to word it because we're at the Sportsman Show.
Yeah.
A plastic utilitarian device that helps women.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yes. Big white one.
Yes.
Real big.
Cisco color.
Absolutely.
Nice.
So he's carrying this thing around, and it's got a big suction cup on the back. And I'm like, Billy, what are you going to do with it? And he looks at me and grins, and he never said anything. And he struts back down to the dock. And I didn't hear anything about it until about 4 days later. Another guide of mine, JP, he comes up. And I forget where we crossed paths, but he was mad. He was upset. And I'm like, what's going on, JP? He's like, you'll never guess what happened to me today. I'm like, what? He said, I was out musky on this musky guide with the people. And it was a wonderful couple.
Yep.
I know them very well. Was out on a guide with so-and-so. And I asked Judy to go into my tackle box, and Judy is a protective name, to go into my tackle box and grab the lure that she wanted. And in, you got to understand, these musky boxes, they're like big, tall and deep, and they have slots that you can drop your baits into.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I guess she pulled out the utilitarian item.
Nice.
The device. Nice. That Billy found.
With the look on her face.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that Billy found out on Lake Nipissing. And he had stuck a hook in the end of it. She pulled it out and she said, JP, I'd like to use this one.
And big tube jig.
Oh, yeah, big tube jig. And all Billy, he was, and he was mad. JP was some mad. So he had taken it out, and this device made its way around the lodge. This would have been end of August. It was my uncle Chuck.
Yeah.
And he is one of those Joker guys. So we're closing up the lodge now. And that was only one of the areas. And I don't even know where it ended up.
Yeah.
I heard rumblings and stories from people about it. But Uncle Chuck then found
it. Sounds like it became a legend.
It is a legend. It is a legend. And my Grammy was up there and everybody's closing stuff down. While Uncle Chuck, we put the barrels out on the docks, yep, right? To yep. fill them up with water to hold the dock, the deck to the cribs. And yep. the one right as you come off the main dock and you walk up this beautiful walkway. Now, there were nobody there. It was just my family. But Uncle Chuck found it and stuck it right to the barrel.
Yep.
And my Grammy's walking back and forth. She never saw it until Uncle Chuck was sitting up on the golf cart and he yells down. He says, "What's wrong with that barrel?" And Grammy looks at it. I'm standing there. I'm like, oh no. Oh yeah. She started laughing, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a
so
good
that
one.
that was one of the best finds. That somebody brought in from the lake.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's a historic monument.
Yes.
For sure.
You never know. It still might be kicking around there.
Hey, I'm guessing it is. I should
ask Craig. I should maybe warn him. Hey, there's a white utilitarian item for ladies that's kicking around your right? place. You might want to keep an eye out for it.
Keep an eye out before that floats around. Yeah. Which, by the way, Craig, what a super cool individual.
Yes, and he's a go-getter, man. He just doesn't know when to stop. Like
he reminds me of my partner a lot.
Yes, yeah. Yes, like yes. For to buy Chaudière, he had a place called Sands on Golden Lake, which he had sold after he bought Chaudière.
Yeah.
But he's since bought five more northern. Resorts.
I love the aggression. I love his attitude and I love his passion for what he's doing now. He's doing great. I love it.
He self-describes himself as a hoarder of lodges.
Of businesses. Nice. That's awesome. Hey, that's a good problem to have too. If you're a hoarder, right?
Well, and you know what? People like yourself in the business and Craig, you understand that all ships rise with the tide.
Yes.
And when I had the business, I also believed that. And I tried to work with everybody that was like-minded. And it was at that time an industry where, you know, when you come to these places, there was a bit of a camaraderie and you'd go out and you'd know everybody. But there really wasn't any collaborative initiatives. There was always the elephant in the room where it felt like there was a finite number of people and guests and money. And I never believed that. I always believed that there's more. There's abundance for all.
Absolutely. For right? sure. I agree 100%.
So I just really appreciate the fact that you are one of those guys that is like-minded like myself.
Yep.
And look to work with people, to partner with people, to help people. Because it is a small industry, but that's a great thing.
Yes.
That's a great thing. And unfortunately, COVID really kicked the shit out of a lot of people.
Oh, it was horrible for that shit, right?
Right?
It was bad.
So even more so today, there's less product out there.
Yep.
And there's more people that want to take advantage of it. And really, the cream has risen to the top.
Yep.
And the people that have survived are now getting ready to thrive.
I think that you're going to see that too here, Steve, is that In the future here, you're going to see that very apparent that the ones that did structure their businesses properly and do it in a fashion where you had to adapt quickly, you know, like I'll throw something in here quick. And by the way, I did think of a good story for you.
Perfect. But I wasn't going to let you off the hook.
No, I figured you weren't. So one thing that we noticed right away was our Canadian market, you know, you guys are Fishing Canada and the Outdoor Journal and Diaries of a Lodge Owner based off a Canadian network.
Yeah.
Majority of the
national,
time.
Yep.
Correct. So I think a lot of places, a lot of lodges and a lot of people in our industry, you know, they forgot about that. And I was one of them. And even though me and Krista were small at the time with Lake Woods Fishing Adventures, we immediately noticed. I was like, we need to change now. Like, if before this this disaster is over, because when it's done, this Canadian market's what's keeping us going.
Yeah.
So what we did is we actually capped our American clients to a percentage.
Really?
Doesn't matter what the percent. Yes. Yeah. For the reason of, I want to make sure that we leave a gap for our Canadian clientele to come up. So I've spoken to many, many people at this show already and taken bookings from a lot of them now that are in that 12 I'm talking about, is that when I was a kid, Steve, I could never afford something like even as little as the $675 a week to come up to my place and take care of yourself, all the way up to the $2,000 for a few days to be treated like royalty, you know?
Yeah.
That's, I could never do that. And I never really thought it was right that I couldn't have an advantage to do that because I'm Canadian. This is my area and this is my waters. And this is our
home. This is our home.
That's right. This is our home. We should be able to at least experience it. And that's what me and Krista decided. We want to do that. So we actually went straight across the board with our exchange rate and dropped 30%. It's to us, it's more of a, and I think you've seen it play out over the last 50 years. Yes, you can pack your lodge full of 75% or 80% of a certain clientele and then fill your gaps here and there. But we want to fill it with passion and the people that deserve to be there on top of the ones that we're selling, you know? So that's really big for us, you know, and it's worked.
Well, that's,
it really,
that's
we amazing. Actually grew well. I mean, I started my businesses pre-COVID, the year before COVID, you know, when I flew back from the Middle East, I was drilling oil in the Middle East, you know, before COVID.
Yeah.
And we got into this at probably the worst time in the world to do it. I should have been bankrupt 5 times over.
Yeah, it's funny how, though, when you have a vision and a passion and the steadfast commitment to succeed.
Yeah.
It always comes through.
Absolutely.
You always find a way.
You have to. You, no matter anybody out there who does have a struggle or who's, you know, talk to people. You know, talk to people in our industry. Call.
Yeah.
Call me.
Yeah.
Call me. Call Steve. Even if you call anybody and try and reach. Send us an email and reach out to us. At Nordic Point Lodge or Dyers of Lodge or your neighbor across the bay who you have a relationship with, and you try and keep that going so you can. You can navigate the future, you know, and help yourself grow in those ways where you're struggling. That's key.
And the thing I want everybody to remember as well, when you have that steadfast refusal to give up, when you have that steadfast belief in what you're doing, it's not easy. It's the furthest thing away from easy.
Correct.
But if you have the mental fortitude to believe, everything will work out. It has to. It did for me. There was a lot of dark days where I refused to let those feelings in.
Yep.
I canceled them. They went through me. I refused to engage with, because it's so easy to let yourself engage with those feelings. It's very hard to not.
It's engage. Easy to give up, Stephen. It's not hard to strive. You know, that's, I agree. You know, like even at the start, there was lots of times me and Krista had, whether battles or with my partner about what we're going to do here. And there's so many things that we had to change. Like we went from nothing to what we are now.
Yeah.
It was really tough in that aspect, you know, and on personal relationships, on business relationships, on your personal life at home with your family and, you know, like I said, if anyone needs, you know, ask for help and don't give up, because until someone's knocking at your door that they need to take your lodge from you, that's your place. And
well,
keep treading
or your
water.
Business, listen, just turn that fat lady when she's singing.
That's right.
Right around and kick her out the door.
Positivity is the biggest thing that people forget. Like, you know, you can get shit kicked all day and knocked down, Steve.
Yeah.
By a sewer blowing up and your guide doesn't show up to work. And fishing's brutal for that week because the mayfly, whatever happens. If you're a positive person, you will overcome it because in the
end, you attract positivity.
Absolutely. You attract it around you for sure. I'm a big believer in that stuff. Absolutely. One day of living, Steve's a motto I've lived by my whole life. I don't have a limit, as we spoke on the last podcast.
You know? And it's a wonderful, I love it. I've thought about that statement that you make. It's such a powerful statement.
It is. And it's, you know, like one day of living to me, Steve, is better than a lifetime of existing. You know, if I was to, I know 2 years ago at this time, you know, I'd met you and I'd met all of these people. And I've known a lot of people in the fishing industry for a long time. I competed heavily for many years, you know, against guys like Jeff Gustafson and Brian and Jamie and people that are the biggest sticks in this country right now that I've competed against them. And, you know, like when I met my idol and when I was introduced to these things and in the direction that we were going, just based off what I was doing, it's all from positivity. And that's huge. And I mean, like, you just keep going.
Yeah.
You just keep going and you will create your own.
Yes. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So guide story.
Guide story. Here's a good one. So my longest time guests, Rhonda Smooty is her name. Rhonda and Don Smooty. Like, they've been with me for, this is going on 13 years now, on and off guide with, or fishing with me.
Yeah.
And so Rhonda's she's a mechanical engineer, runs a major firm that does all of the Amazon buildings, warehouses worldwide. So she does all that HVAC stuff for them, designs it. She's a super intelligent woman.
Wow.
Fantastic personality, beautiful lady. And she loves to fish.
I like her already.
Loves to fish, right? Right? So she comes up every year and brings her husband, Don. And great guy. He's a little like me and you. He talks a lot. Let me tell you that. He's not.
Well, he fit in good then.
He's not an introverted type. That's for sure. So the whole time Rhonda's with him, he rides her. Same as Dave's daughter. Same.
Yeah.
And so there's been many of times where Don has gone out and done really well. And there's been many of times where he doesn't, just like anybody.
Yeah.
Well, this specific day, I had Don and Rhonda and Leanne in my boat. We go blasting down the lake and fish a few hours. And we catch a couple nice fish and some short on fish. And Don is one of these guys where he is... Everything's about a 30-incher. Everything's about a 50-incher. If it's 29.25 and it ain't 30, then no good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One of those guys.
Yeah.
So he's riding everyone in the boat. He's riding me more than anybody because I'm the guide, right? I'm getting the gears on everything. No matter what you catch, you're getting the gears, Willie.
Yeah.
So 5 minutes to 12. We bottom bouncing this ledge right by Nordic. She hits I think it was like a 27 or 28-inch walleye. But it was fat. It was so fat. It looked like a largemouth. If I showed you a picture of it, actually,
really?
I should text it to you sometime. Yeah. It was huge. The head was so fat, it looked like a largemouth. Like, it was a Willie-sized walleye eating in this bay, right? Yeah. So Don gets right upset.
Yeah.
You know, like... Put me on them. And don't put my wife on them. And he takes it personally.
Yeah.
So we go into shore lunch. And the girls had to pee, actually, on the way into shore lunch is what it was. So we stopped at a little rock, pull up to the shore, and everybody gets out. Well, In the meantime, I had been riding Dawn pretty hard about, you know, like, I'm going to start calling you Perch Moody and all of this kind of shit. And so he was funny irritating me, but as my friend Klein, I had to give it back to him.
Yeah.
Well, my mouth got a little too big, I think, and God slapped me down. We pull up on this rock.
I hate when the good Lord does that.
Oh, yeah. So we get to this spot, and I pull up to shore, nose up to shore, and the girls, Don hops out first, and then he helps the ladies out. so on and so forth, and they go do their business. Well, when they float me back out, and I'm figuring I'm just going to sit out there, right? So they float me out, and I'm about 5-6 feet offshore when they float me out.
Yeah.
Well, the buoyancy, I didn't know, because we just picked a random area to come up on, right? I didn't know that right under the boat, like, there was one rock. It was about 3 feet wide by about 4 feet long, and it was flat, so you couldn't see it underneath the water coming out. And you didn't hit it, the weight in the boat. So we, as soon as I'm floating off, sure enough, I'm hung up on this rock. So my guests are locked on shore. They can't get back in the boat. We're supposed to be going to shore lunch, right?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here floating without an arm's length away from them that they can't get there. Oh my goodness. What am I going to do? Because I'm high sided on this rock. What am I going to do? Well, the only option is, because it's either my guests are swimming or I'm swimming.
Yeah.
Well, into the water, Willie goes. And I'm, but the rock, so it's like 5 feet of water all around the bloody rock.
Yeah.
So I'm not barely touching ground, and I'm up on my tippy toes trying to rock the boat and get it off this rock. And now at this time, all my guides are coming by, all my other buddies that I'm fishing with. And they're all laughing and pointing and look at Pawlowski. Pawlowski's caught here in the bloody, oh, so funny. Well, they made me struggle for about 15 minutes and I'm cursing everybody and my guests on shore are laughing. So they finally come over and they hook onto the boat and they pull it off the rock with me. And I go over and get my guests. The moral of the story definitely was when Don got back in my boat, he says, "Hey, Perch Pawlowski, did you learn your lesson?" I said, "Absolutely, I did right then."
Right on. Right on.
Yeah, I'll never forget that day. That was just, you have a million good days.
Yeah.
You have as equal. If you're a young guide out there coming up, you will have a lot of rough days and as equal.
Well, the key with those rough days is you just make them good anyway.
You just smile and tell the story after.
Because yeah? I bet you those guests of yours still to this day talk about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Like this was a recent one too, right? So it's, and that's the other thing. When you're the new face and you're the guy standing in the water.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Right on.
We interrupt this program to bring you the much-anticipated bonus code for the latest Diaries of a Lodge Owner giveaway. This week's code is BASS. That's capital B-A-S-S. Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 entries towards our Lake Obabaka Lodge giveaway. For those who aren't entered, what are you waiting for? Head over to fishingcanada.com while you listen to the rest of this episode. Click contests and sign up for all the latest Fishing Canada giveaways. Now back to the episode.
To bring this full circle, I just wanted to remind everybody out there of the power of the what we're building here with Diaries of a Lodge Owner, with the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcasting Network, with Fishing Canada, the iconic brand that's been in existence for almost five decades.
Insane. It's crazy.
It's the way to really touch people, to get your message across personally. And I'm just really blessed to have you as a partner.
Thank you very much. You know what's awesome? Steve, we feel the same. We're in the amount of gratitude that we owe you guys and the in debt for just becoming, believing in us as you know, we believe in ourselves. And I feel it's because you saw that we believed in ourselves, but I can't thank you guys enough. You know, when you guys come up this year, we're super excited to have you at Nordic Point Lodge. From what I understand, we're going to do our last podcast, I think, or another podcast. Here on the deck.
I can't see it being the last for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm excited for that moment. One thing I do want to bring up here, Steve, just before we continue on, is we've had a little bit of a novelty come to our lake.
Oh, absolutely.
Our lake is something we wanted to talk about, yes.
We have to talk about that. So the other night, you showed me a picture.
Yes.
Of a species of fish, And I like to think that being in the fishing industry, I pretty much know freshwater fish. I've owned and operated a lodge. I'm a co-host of the Fishing Canada television show, and I was almost felt a little embarrassed when you said the word silver pike. I've heard of silver bass. I've caught them, but I had never heard of a silver pike, and I felt a lot better when you talked to Ange about it the other day, and he wasn't very familiar with them either. Yeah. So at that point, I was good.
Yeah,
but I'm going to, first of all, before we dive into this one, I'm going to describe this fish to everybody that's listening. If you imagine the colors of an Arctic grayling.
Correct, yes.
Imagine the grayling colors, which is a beautiful kind of light purple hues and a silvery color.
A little bit of bluish tinge.
Tinge in it. And now impose that color onto a northern pike's body, but the northern pike has a smaller head. It's more of an alligator versus a crocodile. It's the stubbier version of a northern pike.
It's like a stub nose kind of version.
A stub nose version.
Right. Yes.
And it is beautiful.
Super unique, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and now that we've drawn this mental picture of this gorgeous fish, tell us about what you've found.
So probably my second week into operation, you know, obviously the lodge was crazy. Like my mind was going,
oh, for sure.
I was intimidated. I was, you know, I was happy. I was nervous. I was scared. Yeah. I was positives and negative. It was, my emotions were like a banjo, right? Yeah. Like it was crazy. Yeah. You know, so you're not really focusing on the details of what's going on at the time, right? So you're
focusing on details other ones that are more pressing.
Correct. As long as people were having a great time and catching fish on the water, that was my main focus. But I wasn't really paying attention to exactly what was coming in.
Yes.
Till one day, I saw this gentleman get out of his boat, and his son had kept this little pike for, they were going to do a, like a boil, pike boil.
Yeah.
And he brought it in off the, out of the live well. It was only about 20 inches long. It was perfect size to fillet up for a northern, you know, 20, 21 inches. But it didn't look like a northern. It looked like a grayling or a rainbow. And I was like, huh, where did you get that?
Huh.
And he said, well, I got it over here in this bay over here. Okay. He said, well, maybe it was, I just thought for sure, I thought it was just a one-off.
Yeah.
Then my guide started coming in with pictures, and they got bigger, and there was more. And I was like, this is something. So we have a heavy tiger muskie population, as we talked. Like, our muskie fishing is insane. Our tiger muskie fishing is deadly.
Yeah.
But this wasn't a tiger. It was weird. So I started asking around, and I actually asked Brian Gustafson up in Kenora.
Yeah.
I said, have you ever seen this fish before? And I took a picture of the one. And he said, I've never seen one, but I've heard of it. And it's, from what I understand, it's called a silver pike. And I, just as you, I've been a fisherman since I could crawl.
I know.
And I was like, okay, now I feel like a big loser because I thought I was a somebody and now I'm a zero.
Hero to zero. Right.
I went from hero to hero to zero like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, let's look into this. So I started doing some research and I couldn't find nothing. Nothing.
Really?
Nope. And as time went on, like nothing. I couldn't find anything online. It wasn't a species. There was no detail about what could it be or anybody talking about it. Nothing. Time continued to go on and we would catch a couple more of them. So they're obviously breeding because they're small all the way up to the biggest one we got was 34 inches.
That's a nice fish.
So they're breeding.
Yeah.
Not like a hybrid who isn't going
that's
to
right.
breed. They can't.
No, a hybrid is like a mule.
Correct. So I took some really detailed pictures of these fish, knowing that I'm coming to, you know, I'm going to be around people who Hans has been on the water for 50 years.
Yeah.
There's nobody that knows fish like that guy. In my mind, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So between him and you and Peter and my friends.
The ministry.
And that was the ministry. Biology was going to be there. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be great. I'll be able to find out something. So as I've gone through you gentlemen down and ladies down, you know, Carol Kapuka there and everybody I talked to, nobody really had an answer. They love the look of this. It's super unique. So my idol, Angelo Viola, decided to haul me over to biology at the ministry station. And we talked to the biologist and the resource people there.
Yeah.
And we found out what it is. So it is called a silver pike. There is such a thing. It's a very rare, rare fish.
Yeah.
That is only sustainable in certain bodies of water for whatever reason. But it's just a genetic mutation. It's like an albino moose.
Yeah.
Or an albino muskie. I remember a few years ago, somebody had caught an albino muskie down by Wiley Point Lodge in Lake of the Woods.
Yeah.
And it was all over the media. Super cool. But there was one. We have several.
Yeah.
So biology described it as just a pigmentation mutation. And if they're sticking with the, if it's stuck in a female and a male and they can breed, they will create. So it's actually a northern pike is the DNA would be a northern pike.
Yes.
But it changed the pigmentation makes it that silver pike. It's just a one-off.
Along the way, there has been a mutation in the DNA that has caused the pigmentation variant.
Correct. And unless anybody out there who is listening to this podcast, that if you have this species or have ever heard of this, please reach out to me. You know, myself at Nordic Point Lodge or Steve at Diaries of the Lodge Owner. And because we really are trying to get some insight on this right now. Or if you've been to the Cedar Chain area and Perot Lake and Cedar Lake and Cedar River Chain, that's where we are. And that's it's very unique. So we possibly have a fish that we do. We have a fish that is rare, that is abnormal, and that nobody, as far as I know, right now, and the whatever 200 years of fishing experience between the four or five of us that have chatted about it, that nobody's seen and nobody has.
Yeah.
Super badass.
That is as badass as you get. Right? And so exciting. Like, yeah. I mean, I am super pumped. I want a picture.
I think we should post one, Steve. Why don't we post it on your Facebook or your Instagram, and I'll do it on mine. And anybody who's listening out there, you know, I'll send it over to you guys at Fishing Canada too. And if you guys want to post it and anybody want to look at this thing, please do it. If you guys want to get booked up to come and target this summer, we are. I'm getting grilled by everybody at Fishing Canada right now. You need to find these species and follow them because we're going to target them.
Yeah.
It would be, we're going to try and do a show on them.
That would be great. Like. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's something that, is very cool, unique, and the thing I love about it the most is it's a resource that's at your fingertips that you have control of, right? So it's one of those species that is so totally cool, but you've also got to be mindful of keeping them protected.
Oh, like,
protect them, well, right? And it's money for you.
That
very well, like, I mean, that very well could be a destinational species.
It could be a name game changer for the industry, species. not just Nordic Point Lodge. I mean, what we've created is one thing, you know, this amazing thing that we've made, myself and Krista and my partner and you guys, and it's amazing, but it's going to be next level if we have a species no one else can offer. That's massive. That's a whole different game right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm very glad. So again, I just want to emphasize to all of those people listening, Diaries of a Lodge Owner, the Outdoor Journal Network, we are looking to partner with wonderful people like yourself. And I think that you're a walking testament. And I want to thank you, because there is nothing that makes me feel better about what I'm doing than to be able to go into a relationship and it be beneficially, it's mutually beneficial.
Yes.
And we're looking to do that with so many more people and in every industry, all across the board.
Absolutely.
Right. And you are one of the original kingpins with me, and always will be.
I appreciate that. You know, like, and as I think I said a little while ago, and any of the lodge owners out there listening to this, or people in the fishing and outdoor business, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a lodge. If you guys are looking to diversify social media wise and media wise, I'm telling you right now that this is a major revenue changer. For sure. I mean, contacting Diaries of a Lodge Owner, contact Eating Wild, the Ugly Pike Podcast, the Outdoor Journal radio station, and our network, and working with them is a major game changer for us. And I would recommend it to anyone. If anybody has any questions out there about how they can move forward with this kind of thing, and how it affected myself and Krista's life, please feel free to reach out to us, because we would back it in a minute.
Well, thank you so much for that, buddy. And I so look forward to getting up and experiencing what you're offering and chasing down the silver pike, the elusive, wonderful mystic.
Yes.
It's like a unicorn.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Even the colors of the unicorn.
I know. Yes. Well, there you go, buddy. Yes. That's a new marketing strategy there. Go, right? But send that picture over. Yep. We'll get it out there for all of you to see.
We'll post it everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, folks, thank you again for getting to the end of this podcast. I appreciate it. I love you guys. And this family of people is constantly growing. And tell your friends. And if you like the content, if you like me and Will and everything that we're bringing you, hit that follow. Smash that like.
Yeah, baby.
Leave comments. That's
questions. Questions is a big one. Yes.
Questions. Yes. And I get tons of questions. It's wonderful. It's a great thing. And again, here we are. We've come to the end. It pains me, because I love you, Will, and I love all of you out there.
I can sit here and talk to you for another 2 hours, brother.
It pains me, but we have come to the end of another episode of Diaries of a Lodge Owner.
I'm a good old boy, never meaning no harm. I'll be the all you ever saw, been reeling in the hog since the day I was born. Bending my rod, stretching my line. Someday I might own a lodge and that'd be fine. I'll be making my way, the only way I know how. Working hard and sharing the north with all of my pals. Well, I'm a good old boy. I bought a lodge and lived my dream. And now I'm here talking about how life can be as good as it seems. Yeah.
What brings people together more than fishing and hunting?
How about food?
I'm Chef Antonio Maleca, and I have spent years catering to the stars. Now, on Outdoor Journal Radio's Eat and Wild podcast, Luigi, Hookset, and I are bringing our expertise
and Rolodex to our real passion, the outdoors.
Each week, we're bringing you inside the boat, tree stand, or duck blind, and giving you real advice that you can use to make the most out of your fishing game.
You're going to flip that duck breast over once you get a nice hard sear on that breast. You don't want to sear the actual meat.
And it's not just us chatting here. If you can name a celebrity, we've probably worked with them. And I think you might be surprised who likes to hunt and fish.
When Kit Harrington asks me to prepare him sashimi with his bass, I couldn't say no.
Whatever Taylor Sheridan wanted, I made sure I had it.
Burgers, steak, anything off the barbecue. That's a true cowboy.
All Jeremy Renner wanted to have was lemon ginger shots all day.
Find Eating Wild now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Back in 2016, Frank and I had a vision to amass the single largest database of muskie angling education material anywhere in the world.
Our dream was to harness the knowledge of this amazing community and share it with passionate anglers just like you.
Thus, the Ugly Pike podcast was born and quickly grew to become one of the top fishing podcasts in North America.
Step into the world of angling adventures and embrace the thrill of the catch with the Ugly Pike podcast. Join us on our quest to understand what makes us different as anglers and to uncover what it takes to go after the infamous fish of 10,000 casts.
The Ugly Pike podcast isn't just about fishing. It's about creating a tight-knit community of passionate anglers who share the same love for the sport. Through laughter, through camaraderie, and an unwavering spirit of adventure, this podcast will bring people together.
Subscribe now and never miss a moment of our angling adventures. Tight lines, everyone.
Find Ugly Pike now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.